I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, my faith grows stronger, and I learn how to be an overcomer. The scripture says, if you're born of God, you are an overcomer, and that the way you overcome, the victory is your faith. And so that's why we have Faith School, is because this is the means for our triumphing and our overcoming. It's not some unknowable mystery. It's not just all up to God. He requires us to learn His ways of doing things. And He said, you know, the Spirit of God said, as imitate God or follow His example as dear children. Mm-hmm. Just like a little child mimic their parent, their dad, their mom. That's what you and I should be doing. We should look at the Father and He says, light, be. And whew, and we look at that and go, okay. Skin, clear up, right? Stomach problem, quit. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not at the galaxy creating phase. We just have a measure, a part of the God kind of faith. But it is some kind of wonderful. Mm-hmm. And Jesus said it was capable of moving mountains. I mean, it is capable of all kind of wonderful things if we will do our part. So, Father, all of us do. We desire to not be slothful or lazy push back our responsibility, but to trust You. And we ask in You, Lord, show us how to come up higher, to believe stronger, to reach further, and get glory to Yourself in Your manifestations of power and goodness in our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, somebody say, thank You, Lord.
Thank You, Lord.
We've been on a series for a number of weeks now that we're calling Faith for Provision. And we're stating, first it was 30, now it's 40. Reasons why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. That's a big statement. A lot of all and all and always. But that's how God does things. That's how He talks. Said out loud, abundant provision.
Abundant provision.
Is always.
Is always.
God's will.
God's will.
For us all.
For us all.
Now see, if that's true, then lack is not His will. It's not His will that for some people there be lack. And sometimes folks, you know, that don't understand and believe some wrong things, they want to argue with that because they'll say, well, hey, open your eyes. Look at the world. People are in poverty. I know that. We're fighting against that. Amen. We want to see God's will done in people's lives. Amen. And it's not poverty. Amen. It's not lack. And we believe man cannot fix this problem. God can.
Yes.
He can.
Yes.
It is. If everybody would turn to God and listen to Him and do what He says in these areas, this problem would cease worldwide. Right. If you don't think it's possible, then you don't really believe in God. You don't believe that He is God and He can do what He can do. The problem is, people won't listen to God. And sometimes some of the places and countries and cities and areas and parts that are in the worst shape You're looking at, in some cases, generations of people who have rebelled against God and forsaken God, and actually in many cases replaced Him with false gods, which are evil, something that really angers the Lord. And well, you can't reject God and replace Him with a lie and still have His provision.
That's right.
And still have His protection. That's not how it works. So the way to change it is to repent.
Amen.
And to come to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And if you will, your life will change.
Amen.
And if a city will, the city will change.
Yes.
If a country will,
yes,
the country will change.
Yes.
I want you to say it out loud. The one and only God.
The one and only God.
God of Abraham.
God of Abraham.
Isaac.
And Jacob.
God and Father.
God and Father.
Of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Our Lord Jesus Christ.
Is my God.
Is my God.
Hallelujah. That's my God. One and only. And Jesus is the one and only Savior. If you disagree with that, then you're probably not a Christian. No matter how you were raised or how you, what kind of church you've been involved in, Jesus said you must be born again. And the way you're born again, according to Romans, you believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead. You got to believe in this miracle. And you confess Jesus as Lord.
Yes.
Not as a good man.
No.
As one of the prophets. Mm-mm. As the Redeemer.
Yes.
The way. The truth. The life.
Yes.
If you've never done that before, oh friend, don't waste another moment. I'm going to lead you in the prayer right now.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you did it, but you got away from God and you've been cold and backslid, come back. Come back home today. The Lord still cares about you, still loves you. It can be better than it ever was,
yes,
if you just come back.
Yes.
But He won't make you come back. You got to do that of your own free will. So come on back. Come on in. Everybody said out loud, Father God,
Father God,
I do believe in you.
I do believe in you.
And I trust you.
And I trust you.
And I thank you.
And I thank you.
For my life.
For my life.
And I believe that you sent your Son,
Jesus,
the Christ,
the Redeemer,
to save us. And that He died on the cross
and
paid the full price for
all my failures,
all my sins,
all my mistakes,
all my rebellion,
all my disobedience.
He paid for it all.
And
you have raised Him from the dead.
Triumphant
over death
and hell.
Over all.
And
I confess Jesus
as my Lord
and my Savior.
Thank you, Lord,
for saving me.
Oh,
hallelujah. If you did that from your heart, it's the greatest choice you ever made.
Amen.
It's the greatest response you ever responded. And receiving Jesus is not the end of the thing. It is the beginning of a thing. And just like you now have eternal life inside you, He wants to manifest life around you too in this life. And actually give you a taste of heaven. To go to heaven in.
Yes.
Get you ready.
Yes.
Acclimated to what's coming next. Well, part of that is abundant provision. Go with me to the book of Acts again, if you would. We've studied one after another through, initially we were doing 30 reasons. Now we're doing 40 reasons why we're sure abundant provision's always God's will for us all. We're down to reason number 30. In our study, we're calling it the beginning days of the church because of the record of the beginning days of the church. We see God's will for the church. Well, what is the church? The church are the body of believers, the body of Christ. Well, we are a part of this same church, a part of this same body, same Holy Spirit, same authority, and Lord Jesus, same gospel. Well, how did they live in the early days of the church? In Acts, the second chapter, we see in verse 44, all that believed were together and had all things common. Now, we've mentioned this before, but it bears even more repetition. Did you know the Bible said, in fact, just hold your place here. Go to 1 Peter, the third chapter, 7th verse, 1 Peter 3:7. He's talking about husbands and wives. And he said, 1 Peter 3:7, husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, talking about the wife, giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Not weaker person. Are y'all awake?
Yes, sir.
Weaker vessel. Vessel refers to the body. And he goes on to say, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now see, we're talking about unity and being together and being one mind. And you know, at the beginning of the chapter of the book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit came, the timing and environment that the Holy Spirit manifested such a spectacular manifestation was a place where 120 believers were on the same page. They were in one geographical place, but not just physically, one accord. Agreement. There wasn't this fighting and strife and struggle. One place, one accord. And we read in the 4th chapter talking about this provision, same thing. One heart, one soul, one place. Well, do you think husbands and wives should be in agreement?
Yes.
And be together, not just live physically together, but be spiritually on the same priorities and focus. He said, and here he's saying, if the husband's not thinking right and treating his wife right, and prior to that verse he had talked about the wife, how she should look at and treat her husband. He said, if you don't do this, your prayers would be hindered. Mm-hmm. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Your prayers would be hindered. Well, what's he talking about? He's not just talking about that you couldn't pray. He's talking about a response to your prayer.
Yeah.
He's talking about an answer to your prayer, which would involve a manifestation of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see this?
Yes.
Answered prayer involves the Holy Spirit, involves angels.
Yes.
And what you see in the book of Acts, I mean, the title that men gave it long ago, at least the King James, was the Acts of the Apostles. But like we mentioned, it's really the Acts of the Holy Spirit in the church. And he manifested through, yes, apostles, but also prophets, also evangelists, teachers, and believers. I mean, Ananias, you know, that the Holy Spirit gave a vision and dream and sent to minister to Paul. As far as we know, he wasn't a preacher. He wasn't an apostle or prophet. But we see the Holy Spirit manifesting and answers and healings and deliverances and miracles. Is there any connection between that and unity?
Yes.
Can you see why we're talking about this? Even in the home, if there's not a unity, according to the Scripture, 1 Peter 3, your prayers would be hindered. If you would do what he's saying, your prayers won't be hindered. I know some years ago I had the privilege of ministering at Brother Kenneth Hagin's healing school. And we would have two classes a day where people could come that had been attacked with physical problems and dealing with physical things to get your faith built up. And I know one day we were through in the afternoon, evening, and I was leaving the building, and a young mother was outside the door with a little child in her arms, and she came and said that the child was sick, and you could look at the child and see its nose was running, and you could tell it had fever, and she wanted prayer. And I was about to walk out the door to go home, but I said, sure. And I come on in, and I'm about to pray, and the Lord checked me and said, wait. How many know we need to be led by the Spirit in everything? And just that quick, I had a word of knowledge. What I mean by that is I knew something that there's no way I could know. And I looked at her, and I said, dear, I said, have you and your husband been having problems? And she just burst into crying and just sobbing. I took that as a yes. And I said, I understand. I said, I understand. But the Lord had revealed to me that there was an environment of strife in their home. And it was hindering their prayers for their baby. Are y'all awake or not?
Yes, sir.
And God wasn't withholding anything. Can you see this?
Yes.
It's just that this stuff, this strife and this yelling and fighting and all that kind of stuff is getting in the way of their faith to receive.
That's right.
Did you remember reading the scripture said, faith works by love?
Yes.
It works by it. That word could also be translated operate. It operates by love. I said, dear, I'm going to pray for the child. I'm going to lay hands on the child. And God cares about your baby. And he'll minister to your child right now. I said, but you don't need to take the child back into a strife-filled house with y'all yelling and fighting and screaming because the child can get back in this same shape. Assume, I said, if for no other reason, for the child's sake, y'all got to stop this and get it fixed. She shook her head, yes, and I said, I'll pray for you too. So we prayed, and sure enough, the little child looked wonderfully better just 30 minutes after that. And I trust that that's what happened. But it was a revelation to me. It came more clear to me than ever before that the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, which is involved in all our answered prayer and angelic work, is not separated from this unity and walking in love. Can you see why this is the New Testament commandment? Huh? He commanded. He didn't say try. He didn't say give it your best shot. He commanded us to love each other the way he loves us. That involves being willing to forgive. It involves graciousness. It involves being long-suffering and patient and kind. Huh? All this cussing and fussing and yelling and screaming and throwing stuff and breaking stuff. That's acting like you're not even saved. Are y'all awake, class? No, we don't live like this. We don't. And if you say, well, I can't help it, I just get mad and I can't help myself, that's a lie. That's a lie. You're doing what you can get away with, and it's costing you more than you should pay. No, you can repent. They can repent. And in this environment, the Bible said, you know, well, let's just turn there and look at it, you know, because I say the Bible said, but you got a Bible right here, don't you? Psalm 133. Yeah, talking to you like you ain't got a Bible. Psalm 133. Everybody say one place,
one place,
one mind,
one mind,
one accord.
One accord.
Look at Psalm 133, just three verses. 133 with three verses. Just three verses, but of course, inspired of God, anointed of God. What's it about? You'll find every one of these has a central theme or central focus. And these are eternal truths. Don't change no matter the generation or the time. And notice he said, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Is it good?
Yes.
It's not just good, it's behold. How good. Huh? You got good and then you got... How good and how pleasant You know, it's not pleasant. People be fussing and fighting. Mm-hmm. Huh? And you know, these things are spiritual. They're not just emotional and physical. They're not just audible sound waves. Have you ever noticed if somebody's really been having it out and fussing and fighting, maybe you weren't there. You didn't hear it. But you arrived and you walked in the door.
Yeah.
You could feel it.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
You look at them and you feel something. You sense something. Well, what is it you're sensing? This is spiritual. It's real. And the Bible talks about that where strife and confusion is, there's every evil work and every evil thing. Strife is the manifest presence of wrong spirits. The manifested presence of evil spirits. Do you want that in your house or in your office or in your car? Then don't be yelling and fussing and cussing anywhere.
Right?
You're saved now.
Amen.
We don't do that. We keep the love command. We walk in love. Would God that every child had the blessing of growing up in a home that was full of love and full of peace. That doesn't mean the parents know everything, but just choose to love God and love each other and walk in love and treat each other with respect and value and mercy and grace. This makes a taste of heaven on earth. It really does. The Bible talks about you could have days of heaven on the earth. That's a big part of what this is. Well, when there is this just tormenting, anguish, and strife, and yelling, and screaming, and accusing, and all of this kind of stuff, that's a taste of hell. That's a taste of hell on earth, which is all the more reason why you don't want to go to hell. Because if a taste is that bad? No, seriously. But how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity and see all the church that are genuinely born again. We are all brothers and sisters. We've been born into the same family of God. He said it, talking about this unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. Oil has always been a type of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, a type of the healing balm of God, the power of God. And when the high priest was anointed, he would wash his body real clean and he would put on the holy garments that were only used for operating in the priest's office. And when they were initiated into the place and anointed, they would take the special anointing oil that wasn't used for anything else except these kind of things, and it would be poured. So this is not a little cross made in his forehead. This is, I don't know, a gallon, 2 gallons, I don't know. It had to be substantial because it piles up on the head and then it starts running down and oozing over the head and the face and down the beard and down the front and down your legs and all the way to the skirts. Can you see that?
Yes,
somebody say anointed.
Anointed.
Anointed. Is there a connection between love and unity and anointing?
Yes.
Yeah, there is. Can you see why the devil tries so hard to keep us fighting each other all the time? Because it can, in effect, interrupt the anointing. It can rob us of peace. It can rob us of our combined faiths and graces, which can rob us of manifestations of the Spirit.
Yes.
It can rob us of miracles,
yes,
healings, deliverances. It's not worth it, right? No matter what it is, it's not worth what it costs you to fuss and fight and hold grudges and not forgive. He said, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment. Well, the anointing is precious. On the head that ran down the beard, Aaron's beard, he's the high priest, went down to the skirts of the garments. Well, we got a high priest. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Who's seated at the right hand of God. Yes. And he is the head, and we are the body.
Yes.
Wonder if the anointing of the head is enough to drip down on the chest and the arms and the hands.
Yes.
And the feet. Because
yes.
You and I are in there somewhere.
Yes.
In the body. That's what the word Christ means. Anointed. It goes on to say, it's like the precious ointment on the head that ran down the beard, Aaron's beard, went down to the skirts of his garment as the dew of Hermon and the dew that descended from the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life, forevermore. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Peace, grace, blessing, life. Is this connected to this unity?
Yes.
So then we see why in the book of Acts, not once or twice, but numerous times, it'll start out by saying they were together. Mm-hmm. And you'll begin to see when he says they were together, they were together. Not just in the same room. And then he also says, one mind, one accord, one heart, one soul. Is it worth us laying aside our differences
yes.
and our petty ideas,
yes.
idiosyncrasies, and
yes.
selfishness, thinking everything has to revolve around us,
yes.
and just getting on board with a bigger plan
yes.
and a bigger right yes. and a bigger vision, and realizing, man, if all of us will come together on this, we will see, hallelujah, the full anointing, the full glory, the full manifestation of eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
Well, our time is up again. Said out loud, I live by faith.
I live by faith.
I walk by faith.
I walk by faith.
I overcome the world by faith.
The world by faith.
I am strong in faith.
I am strong in faith.
Giving glory to God.
Giving glory to God.
We'll see you next time in Faith School.
I've got the
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.